Good evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. It's really good to be here. It's good to have brothers and sisters who believe in Jesus Christ and who want to serve Him, who come to church to get that extra strength. And I hope and pray that I'm obedient enough to the Lord tonight that you can do that, that you can receive what God has for you. And I want to continue. I feel like I need to continue the sermon that was preached to us this morning. You know, we live in a day where fear of God isn't preach much from the pulpits. Fear of God is not heard in the streets. We live in a day where acceptance, tolerance, forgiveness, and probably an abuse of forgiveness, is taught all over the place. And so much so that I think that affects how we think about our future, about eternal life. I think we might get caught up in the acceptance of sin in our own lives and think, oh, God knows me. He'll forgive me. But I don't think that's what the Word teaches. I don't think the Word teaches that, the Word of God teaches that we're to tolerate sin, specifically in our own lives. And so I want to continue this fear of God, because this study on the, or this reading the Word on the fear of God, because it's better to fear Him now and to repent of our sins than to fear Him for eternity and feel eternal guilt. And so I'm going to start reading in the second book of Nephi, chapter 6, verse 89. I'll give you all a moment to find your place. Oh, my beloved brethren, turn away from your sins. Shake off the chains of him that would bind you fast. Come unto that God which is the rock of your salvation. Prepare your souls for that glorious day when justice shall be administered unto the righteous. Even the day of judgment, that ye may not shrink with awful fear. So we should fear God now. Have that wisdom. Seek God now. Repent of our sins so that we may not fear Him at that awful day of His judgment. That ye may not, in 92, that ye may not remember your awful guilt and perfectness and be constrained to exclaim, holy, holy are thy judgments, O Lord God Almighty. His judgments will be holy at that last day. We will have no excuse if we have remained in our sins, if we haven't turned to Him with that great gift He's offered us of salvation. You know, I just want to stop a second and remind everyone that I think the first sermon I heard at the Church of Christ, excuse me, I'm going to clean my glasses while I'm talking. The first sermon I heard at the Church of Christ was at a reunion in Warrensburg. And what stuck out at me, what caused me to seek God and really ask God, was I truly baptized at 8? What caused me to seek Him and seek the truth was in a sermon. I don't even remember who it was speaking, but they said, don't let Christ die on the cross in vain in your life. And what that made me think of, Christ died on the cross for me. He knew the beginning and the end. He knew who was to be created. He knew all. And He has offered such a great gift to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that who am I to make that gift be in vain? Who am I to ignore His laws, to ignore His love, to ignore His mercy, and turn it all away for my own pleasure? And that's what really made me stop and think. And so, He's offered up this great gift in His Son. I'm going to continue in 94. But behold, my brethren, it is expedient that I should awake you to an awful reality of these things. And you know, I really feel like that's what our brother Don was doing this morning. Because he woke me up. I've been working a lot lately, some nights this last week till midnight. And not to go into all the detail, but I believe that I had Christ misplaced in my life. I need to start off in the morning, every day, reading His Word, praying to Him, giving Him my first fruits. Not just with my money, but with my life. And He will guide the rest of the day and produce. But I hadn't been doing that. So I had to work all last week preparing for an audit until midnight because I had not organized my life correctly. And to me, what I got out of the sermon this morning was fear God. Seek Him now while you have the chance. And then He will, what's the scripture? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. And so, He will add what is needed. We're not supposed to worry about those things and fret. We're supposed to seek Him first. Give Him our first fruits. And He will give what's necessary. He will provide. And so I really feel like our brother Donnie was reminding us of that this morning. Continuing in verse 95, would I harrow up your souls if your minds were pure? Would I be plain unto you according to the plainness of the truth if ye were freed from sin? Behold, if ye were holy, I would speak unto you of holiness. But as ye are not holy, and ye look upon me as a teacher, it must needs be expedient that I teach you the consequences of sin. And that's what we heard this morning. Behold, my soul abhorreth sin, and my heart delighteth in righteousness, and I will praise the holy name of my God. Oh, I wish I was like that all the time. You know, I love it when I'm like that. I love it when I'm so close to God that I abhor any sin. There's a part in the Bible that says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I'm sort of badly paraphrasing. But if you think about that, that sin, if we know to do good, not just not do bad things, but if we know to do good, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the imprisoned, these things, doing things that are good, if we know to do good and don't do it, then it's sin. And if I abhorred sin, I think about all the good things I would be doing. And we need to fear God and abhor sin. Behold, my soul abhorreth sin, and my heart delighteth in righteousness. And I will praise the holy name of my God. Come, my brethren, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's that joy that our brother Don was preaching about today. We don't have. But he gives us what we don't have. That's mercy. That's joy. Verse 100, wherefore, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. I see faces out there that remind me of what I'm thinking. You know, I think about all the things I waste my time on. That's my labor. Things that aren't really important when it comes to my salvation or the salvation of my brothers and sisters. And so I need to fear God and pray before I act and then do what God guides me to do. Verse 101, hearken diligently unto me and remember the words which I have spoken. Come unto the Holy One of Israel and feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted. And let your soul delight in fatness. I love it. I love it when there's been times in my life when I just couldn't wait to get to the Word of God and open it up and feast on it. And, you know, because I've had so much responsibility today, it's caused me to search Him more, and I'm getting that desire back. And I love that. I love to delight in my God. Well, we'll just go there. I'm sorry. I preached today in Spanish, and there are some scriptures coming back from that, and I'm just going to read one little short scripture that is Bonnie Elaine Case's favorite scripture. And it's in the second book of Nephi, chapter 15. Verse 7. Second book of Nephi, chapter 15, verse 7. I glory in plainness, I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. And that, to me, that is plainly what our brother Don preached this morning. We're facing hell. We're just like our brother Ken this morning testified, we're at the gate of hell if we are disobeying God. And it is only through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we even have a hope of being redeemed from hell. And I glory. The Book of Mormon is what taught me plainness. I remember when I was caught in drugs and other stuff, and I I was wanting to get out of all that, and I was praying. And some friends invited me to a party, and I said, no, I'm going to stay home tonight. And I got down on my knees, and I just prayed to God to save me from all of that. And I said, God, what do I do? And His word just came to me. I don't know. It was just thought. I don't even remember if I heard it audible or if I just in my mind heard it. But He said, read the Book of Mormon. And that's when I started reading it. And the Book of Mormon to me, when I read through it that year, it was just so plain. So plainly the Word of God. Without a doubt. And so I glory in it. And I glory in truth. It's truth also. The Book of Mormon is truth. And I glory in my Jesus, for He hath redeemed my soul from hell. Let's go back to... I forgot Kleenex again.
Is there Kleenex up here?
I apologize. Can somebody be so kind to tell me where, 103. Okay. Back at the sixth chapter of the second book of Nephi, verse 103. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto Him continually by day, and give thanks unto His holy name by night. You know, what that tells me is get up in the morning and pray to Him. Pray to Him for your brothers and sisters. Pray to Him for yourself. Pray over your, and we're going to read later, pray over your house, pray over your flocks, pray over your crops, pray over your work. And you know, you're going to have trials. But He is faithful. And then give thanks unto His holy name by night, because you're going to receive blessings. And He is worthy to be thanked. Verse 104, let your hearts rejoice, and behold how great the covenants of the Lord, and how great His condescensions unto the children of men. His covenants. Whoa, how many promises has he made to us? He's made so many promises to us. He's made promises to specifically us. Some of them are in the ninth and tenth chapter of the third book of Nephi to us Gentiles that are on this land. He's made promises to those who believe in Him. There's so many covenants He's made with us, and He is faithful. And His condescensions. Can you imagine a perfect God coming down to earth, the Father sending His Son? He was perfect. And He was bruised for our transgressions, bruised for all the nasty things we've done. And that is the hope that we have. He didn't do that to just say, you're too bad. You don't have any hope. You've done way too much. No, he did that to invite everyone in. He did that to give everyone hope. And who are we to deny it? Verse 105, and because of his greatness and his grace and mercy, he hath promised unto us that our seed shall not utterly be destroyed. This is Jacob talking. According to the flesh, but that he would preserve them, and in future generations they shall become a righteous branch unto the house of Israel. And now, my brethren, I would speak unto you more, but on the morrow I will declare unto you the remainder of my words. Amen. Now let's turn to the 16th chapter of Alma. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 207. Behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men. This was before Christ's coming on this land. Behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of his people, and that he shall atone for the sins of the world, for the Lord God hath spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made. For according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. Yea, all are hardened. Yea, all are fallen and are lost, and must perish except it be through the atonement which it is expedient should be made. So if you're thinking that you've done something way too bad to receive his salvation, you're wrong. All are lost. All would be lost if it were not for him. So you can repent and be baptized. For it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. Yea, not a sacrifice of man, neither of beast, neither of any man or of fowl, for it shall not be a human sacrifice, but it must be an infinite and eternal sacrifice. Now there is not any man that can sacrifice his own blood, which will atone for the sins of another. Now if a man murdereth, behold, will our law, which is just, take the life of his brother? I say unto you, nay. But the law requireth the life of him who hath murdered. Therefore there is nothing which is short of an infinite atonement which will suffice for the sins of the world. Therefore it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. And then shall there be, or it is expedient there should be, a stop to the shedding of blood. Then shall the law of Moses be fulfilled. Yea, it shall all be fulfilled, every jot and tittle, and none shall have passed away. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law. Every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice, and that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God. Yea, infinite and eternal, and thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice, and bringeth about means unto men, that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice and encircles them in the arms of safety, while he that exercises no faith unto repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that hath faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye may begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. You know, when I it's been a while since I've been tempted by and fallen to grave sins. And I think because of that, because I used to worry about the grave sins, and because of that, I tend to ignore that not doing good. You know, that's a sin, not doing good. And it reminds me of a testimony in the Zion's Advocate a few years back. I think it was Debbie Vogel from Michigan, I think is where she's from. I can't remember who wrote it, but it was about the little sins and the big sins. And the way she explained it was, she had a dream, I think it was. And in the dream, she would see these big snakes. And she was scared of the snakes and stayed away from the snakes. And while she wasn't looking, a little snake came up and bit her. And that was her fall. And she exclaimed that the snakes were sins, and the big snakes were the big sins that we worry about not committing. But meanwhile, that we're not thinking about the little sins, they can sneak up on us and be our fall. And we need to cry out for mercy for not worrying about the little sins, and ask God for forgiveness, and seek for vigilance, pray for vigilance, soberness, so that we can do good, so that we can stay away from the big sins and the little sins, and do that which is right. 2:18 again. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye may begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. And you know, we need to cry unto him for our enemies. It says in the Bible that we are our enemies' neighbors when we pray for them. You know, you think about the Good Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. He and the Jews weren't buddies. They didn't like each other. He was more or less an enemy. But he's the one that did good to his enemy. And so we need to pray for our enemies also. But it says here, we need to pray unto him against the power of your enemies. Well, the power of our enemies, if we're serving God, is the devil. He's the power behind them. So it says, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy of all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your... Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your soul. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. And now behold, and let me just stop there and say, he's told us a lot here, a lot of practical things that we can do, that we can go back to every day and look at this list to help us to do right. Verse 223, and now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all, and after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and the afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those which stand in need. I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing. That's some pretty strong words, but they're true. And ye are as hypocrites which do deny the faith. Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under foot of men. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye should come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden your hearts, harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. You know, that's the nice thing. It's not something we have to wait for. Salvation is not something we have to wait for. It's something that if we have to endure to the end, or we do not receive it. But if we have faith now, we are saved from our sins. We are saved from ourselves. We have joy in this life that will pass on to the next life, if we keep pure and clean. And that's the goal. It says, and therefore, in verse 227, the end, and therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. And behold, yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. This is the time. After this life, we have no other chance. This is our hope. And you know, God reminds us so often. He chastises us to remind us. Look to me, he says. And if you think about his hand. You know, his hand reaching out to you. Or his, I don't know where he was nailed, but you know he suffered for us. Think I just visualize that. I visualize his hand that has been damaged because of my sins and him reaching out that hand to me. And I think, what great love that I don't deserve. But you know what? He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our labors. That we should labor in this life. Verse 229. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. And that's what we do when we go forward with our own pleasures and joys, and we're guided by the flesh. We procrastinate the day of our repentance. We need to sacrifice our own will to do His. He sacrificed plenty for us. 230. For after this day, of life which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same Spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same Spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world, in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. That's, to me, that's fear of God. When I read that, I don't want to procrastinate. I know the end. I know when I pass on, I better be with God. I better have repented of my sins. That's fear of God. That puts in me the fear of God. 233. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you. And the devil hath all power over you. And this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, and he hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom, and to go no more out, but their garments. Different days have been afflicted with. But you know what? And you think, I've read the Red Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I think of those people who sought truth, and they were afflicted so greatly, and they sang hymns of praise to God. And that's how we should be. And you know, when we come close to God and we know we're serving Him, and we know we're doing right, we can have joy in those afflictions. So I pray that wherever we stand before God, that we will fear Him. And that if we have sins in our lives, that we will repent, come unto Him, humble ourselves, that we don't have to be compelled to be humble, and serve Him with all our mights, and praise Him wherever we find ourselves. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Darren. There is a ring up here that was found. If anyone has lost a little silver ring with a little light-colored stone. Tomorrow night there will be a study class at 7 o'clock. And maybe, will you be able to make it tomorrow? Maybe?
Hope so.
Okay. If you will, open your books to number 146 for our closing song. Father, we come to you with thankful hearts for the word that has been presented to us. We would pray that you would help us to prioritize our lives, that we might live with the proper level of fear of your justice, that we might live with great joy in our heart for the mercy that you offer us, that you will help us that we might improve our time in this life, that we might not procrastinate this day of probation, that we might do good and not just stay away from sin. So we ask that you would be in charge of our lives, that we might put our lives into your hands and be directed by you to serve you and to love our fellow men. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. We ask that you bless each one as they stand in need. We ask these favors in Christ's name. Amen.
a long time because a lot of, I mean, there's so many people.
Get your hand before you take off.